no penalties here. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show podcast with Drew Mindell, Ezra Ginsberg, and Dave Manute.
Good morning, Winnipeg. Good morning, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this morning on YouTube and all of our social media platforms, we say good morning, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're all about the Jets and the Oilers. The regular season for the Jets having concluded last night. The Oilers have one final regular season game this afternoon for reasons that I cannot be explained by anyone with any sense of logic. But that being said, we know these two teams are going to start the first round of the North Division playoffs next Wednesday. So it's time to delve deep, comprehensive preview of the Jets and the Oilers. With Dave Manuk, with Ezra Ginsberg, I am your host, Drew Mindell. We welcome everybody to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. So nice to see so many of you on this Saturday morning. Some familiar faces, some new faces. So many thanks to all of you for joining us. Gentlemen, it has been a whopping 11 hours since we've last seen each other. Missed you boys. You missed us? I know, Dave. It's been a tough 11 hours. How have you guys been spending your time? A lot of quality time, I assume. You know, doing some reading, some analysis, things of that nature. Certainly not. None of that.
Dave? Drew, some of us may have been up till 1:30 in the morning working on a little site called illegalcurve.com, trying to stay awake. I was like, okay, I was just tired yesterday. I was trying to get the site up. I finished all the post-game recap shortly after. Well, it was up while we were on, but then I finished it all off, got it all going. I thought, okay, well, now I got to get going on the morning papers. Got to have those ready to go at 7 o'clock. And I was falling asleep, and there was only one thing that kept me up at about 12:45, and I turned it on and I watched it. Although I had to watch four commercials in advance of actually getting to watch it. The O-Dog race.
Oh, it was amazing.
I have to say, like, I actually watched, or not, I guess it was like a time race, and yeah. I busted out laughing, and it totally woke me up, and I was able to finish all my work. But it was, what's the guy's name?
O-Dog against Al's brother on TSN, let me tell you,
watching those guys run was hilarious. So it woke me up, got me going, allowed me to get all the rest of the papers, which are up on illegalcurve.com.
I thought you were going to say you stayed up finishing that bottle of Fireball that you were chugging back last night. We saw courtesy of our good friends at Seagram's, new sponsor here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show and illegalcurve.com. Ezzy, did you catch the O-Dog versus Al's brother race? I can sort of see you maybe being a good third in that. You know, looks like a lot of guys with some knee troubles, which you have, of course, your ACL still not rehabbed, going on, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, 25 years of that, and, you know, get a little bit of the paunch on there as well. So I thought, you know, that would be a good Dave, let's call a spade a spade. I mean, I'm not one to, you know, throw live in a glass house and throw some stones just the same, but it was a very funny race.
No, I didn't see the race. I'll have to check it out, but I'm sure it's entertaining. O-Dog, good friend of the program, he was on the show last week. Didn't know there was a race. I was so focused on that Jets Leafs game last night. Obviously I've been living under a rock, so I'll check her out on YouTube after the show, or maybe during the show.
Maybe just right now. We'll just peace out for a while, come back, so watch it, and take it.
You're looking as he's got like kind of a glazed over look because you can tell he's absolutely not paying attention.
Let's make sure I'm muted, boys.
That's right. Exactly. That's all we appreciate. Anyways, gentlemen, let's get started. Obviously, we're going to talk in depth today about the Jets and the Oilers. And these are two teams that are definitely familiar with each other because it has been, well, 9 games that they've played against each other this year, and it has not been close over the course of those 9 games. The Oilers, we know, dominant against the Winnipeg Jets, putting together that record of 7 wins and 2 losses, all of them, if I'm not mistaken, in regulation time. The Oilers outscoring the Jets 34-22 in those 9 games, and it's been the Connor McDavid show in those 9 games as well. 16 points Connor McDavid has scored in those 9 games against the Jets. He's basically been the one-man wrecking crew. Let me ask you, so this has been the topic du jour really since it became apparent that the Jets and the Oilers were destined to match up in the first round. What's it going to take for the Winnipeg Jets to slow down, to neutralize, to combat Connor McDavid so that he doesn't single-handedly win the series?
Yeah, and you just mentioned it, Drew. Like, it's neutralized. It's not stopping, because you're not going to stop Connor McDavid. Like, find me one team in the NHL that stopped Connor McDavid this year. Obviously, you know, McDavid was only playing teams in the Canadian division. But in years past, I mean, he was tearing up all the other teams, right? So I think it starts with, you know, staying out of the penalty box and minimizing his damage on the power play. Because, you know, you talked about, you know, how successful the Oilers were against the Jets. A lot of the damage that McDavid was doing was on the power play. He obviously was scoring at even strength as well. And that's why, you know, McDavid is so dangerous, because he can hurt you in a variety of ways. But I think, you know, at times in the season series, the Jets were maybe taking uncharacteristic penalties. So I would say that is the first thing. And I also think, you know, you have to be physical with McDavid, guys. Like, obviously, you know, you have to catch him, right? Like, he's one of the fastest guys in the league. But we know that, you know, teams that have had success against Edmonton, Montreal is one of those teams. And that's why, you know, I think Montreal was hoping, you know, earlier in the season, when they were still kind of in consideration for that second or third playoff spot, they might match up against the Oilers. But I think that's part of it, is, you know, you have to kind of do whatever you can do to slow him down. And that's obviously easier said than done. But that's something that is absolutely crucial. And, you know, you saw the Mark Scheifele line up against Connor McDavid, and the results were not good. We talked about it on last night's postgame show. Travis Yost wrote about it for TSN.ca. There were only a couple of players. You know, Dave mentioned Mason Appleton was one of them. I'm not sure, you know, what line Mason Appleton was on. It might have been with Kopp and Lowry when he was going up against Connor McDavid. But, you know, I would expect that it would be Pierre-Luc Dubois' line. You know, so if that's Dubois, Stastny, and Kopp, or, you know, if Ehlers comes back and that's Dubois, Stastny, and Ehlers, I would expect Paul Maurice wants to get that line up against the Connor McDavid line, or you're trying to get the Adam Lowry line. But there always is the chance that you're going to see top line versus top line guys.
Well, let's stop right now.
And I was just going to quickly say, right now, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl are split up 1-2 down the middle. They've had Draisaitl up on that line. Jesse Puljujarvi has kind of been the staple of that first line all year. It's Dominic Cahoon who's up there right now with McDavid. But regardless, guys, of who's on Connor McDavid's line, if Draisaitl happens to be on McDavid's line, you have to worry about him. If he's the second line center, you also have to worry about him. So, you know, there's that, but there's also the fact that the Jets have to score more goals against the Oilers. Like, it was clear. And obviously, you know, Mike Smith is a good goalie and everything like that, but Smith isn't a goalie that, you know, you're thinking is going to limit you to one or two goals every game. And that's really what he was doing all year long. So the Jets are going to have balanced scoring. When the Jets were on the really good run and winning all of those games on the road, it was because of balanced scoring. You were getting contributions from Andrew Kopp. You were getting contributions from Mason Appleton. You were getting, you know, the odd goal from Trevor Lewis. You were getting the odd goal, you know, from Pierre-Luc Dubois. Dubois is the one guy. He's probably my X factor, boys. But back to what you were asking, Drew, about McDavid, the only thing you can do is try to limit his time and space and limit the damage that he does, and try to stay out of the penalty box and not let him have those odd man opportunities on the power play.
To Ezzy's point there, Dave, I mean, yeah, you know, he mentioned, you know, that, you know, it could be a best on best matchup, you know, match the Scheifele Connor Wheeler line against McDavid and Puljujarvi and right now
God have mercy on the Jets' soul if they do that.
But that was my question. I mean, that's the approach that Paul Maurice took throughout the majority of the regular season, and it failed spectacularly, as the numbers bear out. So is there any chance that the Jets head coach, you know, do you think that he thinks that that's still a plausible matchup for the Jets? Because despite all evidence to the contrary, I mean, you know, you go back, you watch the video, you watch everything about it. Not only did they fail to neutralize or to slow down Connor McDavid, it also prevented them from doing anything on the offensive side of the game, which is certainly an area where the Jets will need their contribution. So under any circumstances, can you foresee how that should be the matchup that the Jets would deploy against McDavid?
I can see it. If you want to not have success, then yes, I would see that as a path forward.
Self-sabotage would be the only way.
We know if it hasn't worked, I mean, what you have to look at what has worked, like what your season, you know, again, we're not looking at one game. I mean, that's the beauty of this season. You've got 9 or 10 games against another team. Well, that's a decent enough sample size to be able to draw some reasonable conclusions. And one of the reasonable conclusions I think we're able to draw from what we've seen between the head-to-head matchups between those lines is it doesn't work well for the Jets. Now, I suspect one head coach is going to be trying to get that, and his name is Dave Tippett. And I think that, and he's an excellent coach, and he's a master tactician. So you got to be a little careful with if you're Paul Maurice in terms of that. And maybe that means you don't play those guys together. You know, I mean, that's also a possibility. I mean, there's been a lot of talk from Paul Maurice in terms of, you know, Pierre-Luc Dubois on the right and moving guys around. So I don't know. Like, I'm a little curious to know. He knows that this line is going, like, in terms of he got these guys going, got them going offensively. They feel good about their game. Is he going to keep them together? Will he keep them together for the whole series? I don't know. I'm honestly not entirely certain. I'm wondering if Paul Maurice is attempting to, you know, maybe play a little gamesmanship before and saying, okay, well, people think that that's what he's going to rely on. And he may go away from it. I mean, and if he doesn't, he doesn't, because it's Old Faithful to him. But again, Drew, there's no great revelation there. The numbers bear out that the Scheifele line up against the McDavid line is a feast for Connor McDavid. So you're not going to do it because it hasn't been successful. What would make it successful now? Because nothing's different. The hockey is still the same. I know that it, quote, ramps up in the playoffs, and maybe, you know, I don't know what you would suddenly be doing differently that you weren't doing in the regular season, because again, you're not defending differently. You might be trying to play a little bit of a tighter game and less like loose offensively, but Scheifele, Connor, I mean, Wheeler has a dedication to defense, but Connor's been a little bit better, but again, that's not exactly a line that's, you know, adherence is to defense first then to offense. So again, when you're playing Connor McDavid, we looked at the article from Travis Yost yesterday, and it showed who are the guys, right? We talked about it: Nikolaj Ehlers, Mason Appleton, Matthew Perreault, and Adam Lowry. So if you're Paul Maurice, you're trying to create some sort of combination that can go up against Connor McDavid. Again, Leon Draisaitl, I'm not taking anything away from him. He's a fantastic hockey player, you know. But there was always a way to defend against Messier. Gretzky was always a different story. So if you can try and neutralize Gretzky, you know, you'll be able to. You can, again, the Jets have the depth to go up against Draisaitl. But if you can neutralize Connor McDavid, that's what I think they need to do.
Yeah, and you know, we're talking a lot about the forward combinations, and rightly so, right? Because the Jets have struggled to score goals, and the Jets haven't had, you know, that mix that they had earlier in the season, right? Like, let's be honest, when Nikolaj Ehlers went down, I mean, that's a huge blow, and it kind of makes all the other lines have a gap except for the top line. That's why you saw Connor Scheifele and Wheeler reunited, because you knew that, you know, they couldn't depend on whether that's Pierre-Luc Dubois or Paul Stastny offensively. Like, those guys in the second half of the season, they've struggled offensively, and it's going to be really interesting to see, guys, you know, what D pair Paul Maurice would like to have up against the McDavid line, right? Mm-hmm. Because oftentimes you'll have Josh Morrissey and whoever he's paired up with Dylan DeMello right now. For the majority of the season, it was Tucker Poolman, and we know what those results are, right? So I would absolutely, you know, if I'm Paul Maurice, want the Morrissey-DeMello pair out there. So does that mean that you're going to see, you know, that pair out with the Dubois line or the Lowry line, and then the Forbort Pionk you would see with the Scheifele line? I mean, that's something to look for. But I think it goes back to what we were talking about before, you know, with McDavid and just how dominant he is. You know, the Jets are going to have to play really well as a five-man unit is what I'm talking about here. Like, we can talk about, you know, the lack of, you know, great defensive forwards on the Jets here. But, you know, we know from watching this team so many times this year and how much damage not only Connor McDavid has done, but the Oilers as a team have done to the Jets. Like, you're going to have to be really smart and not turn the puck over, because that's what this Oilers team does really well. Yeah. And their defense, you know, I've said this many times before, said this last night. I mean, it's a very offensive-minded group, right? Tyson Barrie led all defensemen at scoring. You know, Darnell Nurse, I don't know if he was top 10, but he was close to top 10 in
he was having Darnell Nurse was having a had the best season for an Oilers defenseman, God, probably in 20 years.
Absolutely.
I mean, I can't think of another one in the last 20 years.
And he's a great defenseman, right? He was taken in the Josh Morrissey year, and, you know, he's always been a good defenseman, but you're right, Drew. I mean, he has definitely taken off in the shortened season. And that's what the Oilers like to do. They like to counterpunch, they like to create turnovers. You know, before and again, like, you know, this is something that has applied all season long for the Jets, but the Jets are absolutely a team that needs to have their rush game going, their speed game going. Like, this is a team that obviously can get the odd dirty goal, But, you know, they're going to have to create more offensive chances off the rush. And that's something we didn't see enough during the Jets-Oilers series. So, yeah, we can talk all we want about, you know, shutting down Connor McDavid. But you're going to have some balanced scoring here. And that's not just the Scheifele-Connor-Wheeler line. I mean, Pierre-Luc Dubois said it before. I think, you know, he's going to be a key to this series. If he doesn't produce offensively, I think it's really going to be tough for the Jets to win this series.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, the Jets, I guess the advantage, or I guess for lack of a better term, is that they know rock bottom against this Oilers team. That, you know, series at home, those three games at home where the Oilers absolutely embarrassed them top to bottom. That was, you know, the Jets saying, okay, look, everything we've done against this Oilers team, whatever our strategy has been to deploy against this Oilers team, has not worked. So you probably do have to go back to the drawing board when it comes to defending against the Oilers, which is almost a bit of an advantage for the Jets in the sense that the Oilers probably don't know what the Jets are going to throw at them. The Jets know what the Oilers are going to deploy at them because, you know, you're not going to change up very much when you're that dominant and when it's McDavid doing what he's been doing with Puljujarvi all season long. And then, you know, after, you know, what the Oilers like to do is when they have an opportunity at different points in time during the game, they'll throw out McDavid and Draisaitl together almost as a double shift when they wouldn't be expected. Maybe after a penalty kill, they'll give them a shift together to try and sort of juice the team a little bit. So the Jets are what I'm going to suspect, because you know the Jets can't just continue doing what they've been doing, definition of insanity and all that, but the Jets, you know, approach is going to be almost unknown to the Oilers, whereas the Oilers' approach is what's going to be known to the Jets simply because of the nine games previous this season, Dave.
Well, you hope. I mean, realistically, Drew,
it's coaching malpractice if you just continue to do what you tried to do for nine games and have it fail immensely.
Well, I mean, again, like, you know, it's funny because Josh Morrissey was asked about this the other day in terms of, I think it was Carter Brooks from Game On asked him about, you know, what were you able to do in the first three games where you had more success against the Oilers, winning two of three? And Josh was like, well, you know, it feels like, even though it's a condensed schedule, that feels like a lifetime ago. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, their muscle memory is six straight losses to the Oilers. And to your point, you know, those three at home, during that homestand between the Oilers and the Leafs, which was seen as so critical by so many, really was just a catalyst to, you know, a terrible losing streak, the worst one we've seen, right, in some time. So, I mean, again, Drew, I think you're 100% right. I don't think you can try the same thing, right? Like, you want Tucker Pullman on that first pairing? I mean, he's injured right now, right? So he was in a non-contact, I believe, yesterday at skate. But again, like I said, like, I like Tucker Pullman. I'm not maligning Tucker Pullman, but Tucker Pullman is a third pairing guy. If you have a guy, and again, I know salary shouldn't dictate where your guys play, but how many first pairing guys are making $750,000 or whatever Tucker's making? Again, you know, so it's just a reality that it just doesn't happen very often. And you're putting a guy in a position that he's just not suited for. Tucker Pullman is suited to be your third pairing right side defenseman. That's fine. He's capable of doing that.
Well, and especially, I was going to say, Dave, in the playoffs, when you're going up against, you know, one of the best offensive teams in the league and the team that you've struggled against, right?
That's right.
So that even further illustrates your point, right? And I think we would all expect, you know, Morrissey and DeMelo to play together. We obviously don't know that. Maurice hasn't confirmed that. But I think if you consider that they've played together, you know, towards the end of the season, and mm-hmm. I think the only pair that you can say with certainty is going to be together is Forbert and Pionk, right? The Duluth connection. And then Logan Stanley, guys, I think, has earned himself a spot on that third pair on the left side. I mean, you know, Jordy Benn is maybe the only other option there, because I think at this point,
Villanueva is not an
option. Yeah, so I think your third pair is probably going to be Stanley and Pullman.
Well, depending. I mean, right now, I think that actually in Paul Maurice's mind, I wouldn't be surprised if Ben on the right side is ahead of Pullman depth chart wise. Now, possible. You know, the difference between Ben on the right side and Pullman on the right side probably isn't any great significance.
About 475 NHL games.
That's about the difference. And, you know, Paul Maurice will defer to Jordy Benn in this case because he's a veteran. Now, that doesn't bother me because, again, Tucker Pullman, like you said, Dave, third pairing is, you know, his the best role for him. And if it means that he's out of the lineup, I don't think that there's, you know, a ton there that, you know, that's not going to be that the Jets need that Jordy Benn also can't contribute. You know, that being said, it does seem like Logan Stanley on that third pairing left side has affirmed himself, at least in my mind, as being the option for game one of the series against the Oilers. He's looked, you know, relatively decent. I think he does bring that physical edge, and that, you know, the size factor, I do think, is what is a appealing factor for the Jets. As much as I would have liked to see Ville Heinola, and I don't think it's, I think it's possible we'll see him at some point during the series if the Jets struggle, especially if the back end struggles. It does seem to me that Heinola is probably your fourth option on the left side to start this series, and you're going to go Morrissey, Forbort, and Stanley to start for the Jets on the left side. But again, it's going to take that five-man unit that you spoke about, Ezzie, in order to really neutralize or to mitigate Connor McDavid, because you can't expect the D-pairing to do it itself, and you can't expect the forward group to do it itself. He's just too good. He can dominate on his own.
And I think, Drew, that's the nail on the head. I think it's a function of you just have to be aware defensively. I mean, this is – and it's not just, okay, well, the defense has them. I mean, when Connor McDavid is on the ice, mm-hmm. you have to be aware. And again, you have to shut him down. And again, you know, a lot of the comments in the chat right now are, well, easier said than done. Well, obviously, I 100% agree. The guy has, what, 104 points in the season, 105, 106, whatever it was. It was 104.
McDavid's year, Dave, was one of those years that is going to be looked at in the history books as one of those exceptional years. 104 points in an 82 game season is exceptional. he did it in 56 games. Like, same thing with Austin Matthews and his 41 goals. Like, yeah. 41 goals in 53 games or 54 games, because I think he missed a couple games. Like, that's ridiculous. Yeah. That's a 60 goal pace, right?
Yeah, are numbers that are otherworldly, especially in a shortened season. You're right, Tezzy.
Yeah. So anyway, so I just think it's a function of, to Ezzie's point, you just have to limit the damage. And that's really what you're doing. And again, like I said, you have to look at the numbers and who has been able to successfully do that. And you know, I don't want to harp on the advanced stats or any of that stuff. But the reality is, again, the numbers have not borne out to suggest that you want to match top best against best. So, you know, like I said, the Travis Yost article I thought was interesting. It was illuminating. It showed you which guys have had success against Connor McDavid on this Jets team. And again, like I said, so if you're Palmer's, it's not as if these guys don't have access to this, right? It's not like Travis Yost has some secret database that isn't available to everybody else. So again, you know, assuming Andrew Kopp is healthy, Mason Appleton, again, Matthew Perreault, Adam Lowry, Nikolaj Ehlers, those are the guys that you really want as your forward group, and you're not going to get last change. So it's not always going to be in your favor, which means it's incumbent on Kyle Connor, Mark Scheifele, Blake Wheeler, you know, the Pierre-Luc Dubois, all those other guys. And as he's right, I also think, like, Pierre-Luc Dubois is going to be his defense. We'll see what he's capable of bringing.
And no points in his last 10 games, right? Like, and again, I'm not trying to single him out here.
But if he does, if he does what he did in the bubble last year to Toronto, he's going to remember the fact that he struggled in his first season or first part of a season here in Winnipeg. This is the time for, you know, the reputation that Pierre-Luc Dubois has is that he's sort of a big game player, that he gets, you know, more hyped for when the spotlight is at its brightest. So if we're seeing that come this playoff series, if he takes on the challenge, and I don't know if he's going to get McDavid, but let's say he takes on, if he doesn't get McDavid, he's likely to get Draisaitl. So if he's able to take on that challenge and he's able to, you know, win that battle or at least play him to a draw, then the Jets are perfectly fine with that. Look, if Lowry, Kopp, and Appleton, and let's assume that for the sake of this conversation, let's assume everybody's healthy. And that's obviously a big question mark, especially with Nikolaj Ehlers. Paul Maurice did say that, you know, after last night's game, that Pierre-Luc Dubois and that Paul Stastny would be in the lineup for game one of the playoffs against the Oilers. They might not practice tomorrow per se, but they will practice before the series begins and they'll be in the lineup. So let's assume everybody's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
If that means that Lowry, Kopp, and Appleton get the McDavid line, and then Dubois, Ehlers, and Connor, pardon me, Dubois, Ehlers, and Stastny get the Draisaitl line, well, guess what? That should be an opportunity for the Scheifele, Connor, Wheeler line to feast. Because that's the advantage the Jets have on the Oilers, is that they have the depth that the Oilers don't have. I mean, you look at the, you know, bottom six of the Oilers, and, you know, Dave Tippett has done a nice job with these guys, but for the most part, they're not household names. They're not, look, the Jets top line should be able to dominate them because there's a clear skill advantage for the on the Jets side. If you look at the ledger, the Jets have the advantage there. And that's why I think if you're Paul Maurice, you're trying to avoid, you're trying to keep Shifley, Connor, and Wheeler away from the Oilers' big guys so that they can have the opportunity to really take over against the bottom six of the Edmonton Oilers.
Right, and Dave mentioned, you know, in Edmonton, you're not going to have the last change. So in the first couple of games, you know, you might not get that matchup as much as you want. But, yeah, there's no doubt, Drew, I think in most of our minds here, that, you know, the Jets' top 12 forwards are better than the Oilers' top 12 forwards. It so happens that the Oilers have the two best forwards, you know, of the two teams. So that maybe, you know, equals it out a little bit, but you're absolutely right. That's the type of matchup you're trying to get. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if you see Draisaitl and McDavid split up at times. I wouldn't be surprised if you have them together at times, especially, you know, we're going to see them together in the first power play unit. And that first power play unit is kind of similar to the Jets in that they stay out a little bit longer than maybe some other power play units. But, you know, I think Rob Somerville made a good point here, you know, in the chat talking about, you know, pressure. And that's something, guys, that, you know, we've talked a little bit about this year. And I think you saw that towards the end of the year in the Jets' last two victories. Like, the Jets have to put the pressure on Edmonton, not just physically, not just the forecheck, but offensively. Like, they need to play in the Oilers' zone. And that's something, it was painful to watch. Like, when you talk about seven losses in nine games, like, that's not just losing the season series. You were dominated. And I think there were times in those games where the Jets just couldn't put together, you know, two or three consecutive good shifts. I'm not saying that, you know, they were the worst team in all of those losses, but they're definitely going to have to put some pressure on Mike Smith, because at times in the season series, like, Smith, it was just too easy for him. And Smith is a great goalie. And Dave has talked about this before. You got to keep the puck away from him. He can play the puck. He's like a third defenseman back there. That's another thing the Jets are going to have to do successfully. They're going to have to keep it away from him. They're going to have to, you know, be better in their zone entries at times, especially if Nikolaj Ehlers isn't there, because we know he's the zone entry guru. And, you know, this is, I think, an opportunity here for the Jets to steal a game. And at the end of the day, the season series doesn't mean much. If the Jets score early, they win that first game, the outlook is going to change completely. And now the Jets aren't an underdog. They're in the driver's seat. So even though the Jets, I think, are the underdog on paper and a lot of people are predicting the Oilers to win, welcome Jeff Hamilton to the show. I still think, you know, the Jets have, you know, just as good a shot to win the series as they did last year against Calgary.
And with that, Ezzy, we are pleased to welcome to the program from the Winnipeg Free Press, our good friend Jeff Hamilton joins us on the show right now, talking more about the Winnipeg Jets Edmonton Oilers first round playoff matchup. Jeffrey, good to see you this morning. How are things?
Great, gentlemen. Excited to be on. Thanks for having me. You know, I've been listening to the chat. It's been great. Got a lot of comments about some of the stuff you said. Agree with a lot of it. So, yeah, pleasure to be on.
Our pleasure to have you. So, Jeff, let's, you know, sort of get your opinion on this. Obviously, we know that the key for the Winnipeg Jets is, you know, if not shutting down Connor McDavid altogether, but it's at least neutralizing him or not letting him take it over the series like he did in the nine-game regular season series. So you're putting on your coaching hat right now. How do you deploy the Jets in order to try and mitigate that influence of Connor McDavid?
Well, isn't that the number one question here? I mean, how often do we hear players talk about other players in the context that they talk about Connor McDavid? Like, he's going to get his points. He's going to get his opportunity. Like, you don't hear that stuff about Austin Matthews. You don't hear that stuff about anybody else in the league. Yes, you see appreciation for certain players as media asks about certain guys, and they kind of give you that topical stuff. But from coaching staff to players right on down, it's like, this guy's, you know, a super freak or inhuman. And so obviously that's the number one question. And I mean, the answer, I don't know if I can, you know, the Jets don't seem to have an answer. So why would Jeff Hamilton have an answer? But here's the thing about it is that you know, this is like, you can't see this guy through a lens of being superhuman. It's a hockey game. He's one of five guys on the ice. And it's not like he's been particularly dangerous this year. There's no doubt about it. But I feel like this whole kind of, not, you know, down, like, overplaying him, because you're not, but just maybe understanding a little bit that, you know, this guy is human, and that if you can stop him, that's going to be the key ingredient here. It's obviously going to be tough. There's certain things you can do, Stay off the penalty kill, because you put that guy on the power play and he's going to kill you. The Oilers have 8 power play goals against the Jets this year, the most out of any team. And they got a great power play. You talk about Leon Draisaitl, you talk about Connor McDavid. Well, there's other pieces around that puzzle that are also pretty dangerous. And so, you know, it's going to be the number one question. I ain't going to leave you here with an answer on how to stop Connor McDavid, but I sure as heck like talking about it for sure.
Yeah, Hammer, earlier in the show, I was just making up ways to shut down Connor McDavid. I mean, they were just all nonsense. You can't shut McDavid down. As you mentioned, he's a super freak. But, you know, another thing we were talking about right before you came on was Pierre-Luc Dubois. And he's obviously had his offensive struggles. We all know that. But the question I wanted to ask you is, do you anticipate Paul Maurice using him on the wing or at center? Do you think that's going to change? Because that could be a huge factor here. In addition to the Jets shutting down McDavid and Connor Hellebuck, you know, hopefully stealing a couple games for the Jets, I mean, they have to get Pierre-Luc Dubois going. And I think we would all agree he probably has the best chance at succeeding if he's playing up the middle.
You know, it's an interesting conversation. I kind of lean to what Drew said earlier in the sense that this is an opportunity for Pierre-Luc Dubois. Like if you're not happy with your season, like you can flip the script here. No one's going to be talking about all your struggles, about how, you know, whether it started in Columbus with wanting to get out of there and having a public trade to getting here, to having a quarantine, to getting injured and playing catch up and all this stuff. Like all that narrative can get flipped right away if you can put together some kind of series against the Oilers. And it doesn't need to be the series you had against the Maple Leafs in the past. You just need to be a solid player. And I feel like, you know, I disagree, not necessarily if the word disagree is right, but I think he'd be better utilized on the wing for this playoffs. And the reason why I suggest that is because what is kind of painfully obvious to me, at least this year, is that he's struggled to adapt to his wingers. And that responsibility, I think, was a lot easier in Columbus because you were the man on the line. You know, you carried lines with two wingers that needed to form their game around you. The unfortunate part here in Winnipeg is that because there's so much talent up front, because you slot into that top six, the people on, you know, flanking your wings are talented guys that have known their success and aren't necessarily going to adjust to a game that I'm not even 100% sure they know about Pierre-Luc Dubois. So to me, there's a little bit of an identity crisis here, and I'm not going to call it a lost opportunity, but I felt like because of the season Pierre-Luc Dubois has been having, and because a lot of the emphasis has been on his lack of production and points and not finding the back of the net as often, I thought maybe he could be a better fit to be defensive and maybe give him that responsibility of shutting down the Connor McDavids to have his confidence, joining like a Lowry line, putting Kopp up there, because, you know, Kopp's a guy who will add a defensive element to that top six line, whatever line he's on, and maybe take a little bit of the pressure off with Pierre-Luc Dubois and have a little bit of a, you know, a role, if you will, because that's the thing with me right now is that I don't know if we know what his role is on this team going into the playoffs. Like, is it to drive a line? Is it to complement a line? You know, what is being asked of him? Whereas if you would have taken this last little bit, because they're trying to play this hard grinding game this last 7 or 8 games or whatever. And I felt like that's the kind of game that needs to improve with Pierre-Luc Dubois, because we saw it early on. We saw the guy's physicality. We saw him box out players on the boards. And over this last, whatever, 7 to 10 games where the team hasn't looked great at all, that's the one thing missing with him, is he's not competing for the puck. He's not winning those puck battles that we saw. And so putting him on the wing with a line with, say, Andrew Kopp and Adam Lowry, or whoever, Mason Appleton, sorry, gives him that kind of distinct role where he doesn't need to carry a line. He just needs to play, you know, sound defensively and take a little bit of that pressure off offensively and let it come, because we've seen Mason Appleton and Lowry generate offense, and I think he'd be a nice piece there. I think it's too late. And I think it's too late to go there, even if you're down a couple series in a game, because now it's just kind of confusing. So what exactly we're looking for him in the playoffs, I don't really know, but the point stands that this is a major opportunity for him to flip everything and all the negativity that we've seen, you know, kind of tossed his way because of the high expectations, obviously, following a trade with Patrick Laine.
Jeff Hamilton is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturday morning, we're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms discussing the Jets and the Oilers. The first round playoff series gets underway Wednesday night. And of course, we'll have the post-game show coming for you Wednesday night, probably around 10:30, 10:40 p.m., depending on when the final buzzer sounds, Mr. Minook.
That's true, Drew. Thank you. Jeff, you know, one of the things, one of the narratives I think that the team seems to be focusing on, we saw Blake Wheeler, and I believe you've been asking about it, is that us against the world mentality. And do you find, Cal Connor kind of, I don't want to say disputed it a little bit, but he had a little bit of a different narrative yesterday. Sure. But Blake Wheeler, I thought, encapsulated it, and that idea of it's us against the world, nobody picked us. Do you think that's going to hold them in good stead, or do you think it really is just kind of those are words and they still have to go out and play, on the ice and try and have success there?
Number one question, Dave, in my opinion, is that like this has been the narrative here, and like rightfully so. I mean, you lose 7 games in a row, people are counting you out. It doesn't matter if you're the Winnipeg Jets, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Edmonton Oilers, you put together that kind of miserable month, and of course people are going to turn their backs on you. I mean, this shouldn't be a tough pill to swallow, but I do see them manufactured, and I liken it a little bit to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. In the sense that, you know, they were a good team all season last year for the most part, kind of tailed off near the end as they went through injuries. And then with the whole kind of, you know, Andrew Harris getting snubbed for awards, carried this massive chip on their shoulders that like, oh, you know, no one believes in us. You know, this is unbelievable. Like, we're going to prove everybody wrong. And they went on the road and won 3 straight games, including a dominating display against the Hamilton Tiger-Cats in the final. Now, a completely different game here and a completely different mindset amongst millionaire NHLers and guys grinding in the CFL, but that's what you're seeing here. And to me, if you like, you're right, Dave, Blake is, you know, has kind of encapsulated all of that because he's that kind of player. He's that kind of leader. He's been counted out his entire career. And despite all the praise he's been getting, because I think he's a little out to lunch as far as like the negativity that that he's been thrown his way. Like, I think we were on the brink of that, and the whole injury, the rib injury thing that later came out, I thought that was kind of funny because like everyone knew you were injured. You were playing like you were injured. You never went into the corners. You never threw a body check, and you were logging massive minutes. So all those questions were valid. And it's, so then it's like all of a sudden end of the season, I told you I'd come back. Well, sorry, Blake, but like you came back and you lost 7 straight games. So you weren't on that road trip where the Jets were dominating. So I'm sorry if it's tough for that, you know, a pill to swallow, but you get paid more than $8 million a season. So the expectations are high and fans are passionate. So to come and kind of have this like chip. So anyways, back to the original point is that they are doing that. I mean, and there are people who are saying that, you know, and Blake mentioned it post game, like people are looking at the Canadian division kind of like a joke. You know, they're kind of looking at it as like this high scoring, you know, not as talented. Even when you look at, you know, I think the Oilers have been very impressive over the last couple of months, but, you know, early on, I felt like, you know, I think I was starting to buy into that. The Canadian division was a bit weaker. So all those things are true. And, you know, you can have this mindset like us against the world, but you got to prove it. And to me, if you have that attitude, then you're wondering like your integrity is being challenged, your character is being challenged. Like, to me, and I asked this question to Paul Maurice, I said, at what point during this losing streak do things get personal? Right? Like, when does it stop becoming about X's and O's and about this game and small steps forward and becomes personal when you lose puck battles, personal when you lose games where it doesn't matter what the X's and O's suggest? You're not letting a player beat you in a puck battle. And we just haven't seen that. So this whole chip on my shoulder narrative is great, but you better damn well play like that and prove us wrong, because there's not a single person in media or fans or whomever who have counted out the Jets or have said the Canadian division is not as strong isn't willing to be proven wrong. And it's not going to be because you proved us wrong. It's because you found that ingredient inside you to actually give a damn and make it happen on the ice. So that's it.
Have a take, Jeff Hamilton. I love it.
Woo.
Bring in the
Jeff, get Hamilton some of that fireball.
Jeff needs the fire above his head because he was bringing the heat on that one.
Woo. Winston Churchill be damned. Put me in the middle of that room and provide some perspective. Let's go, guys. Jeez,
I love it, Jeff. Can the Jets win the series without Nikolaj Ehlers?
like it'd be kind of ridiculous to say no because nothing's impossible. I mean, you obviously want him
realistically,
it's going to be a tough challenge because I think what we realized this season, and I'm not saying it's set in stone, but it's become clear to me is that Nikolaj Ehlers is the only game breaker on this team. He's the only guy who can individually do something and change a game without the help of his, you know, of his respective, you know, line mates and whatnot. So, like, you know, we've seen it this year. We've seen the guy step over the blue line and, you know, risk goals. We've seen him come up with big goals at big moments. So, of course, it's you know, it's going to be a lot better situation for the Jets if he's in the lineup. But to suggest they couldn't win without him, I don't know. I just think it's going to have to be one of those, you know, low-scoring, grinding games because I don't think you can – you can't – like, I mean, the Jets have the offensive firepower, even with the lack of game breakers, if you will. I mean, you have the firepower to score goals, but the, you know, this argument of having to go, you know, toe to toe with this team is not what you want because you don't have the defense to back up a toe to toe offensive game. That's just the fact of the matter. And it's not just bad defensive coverage. It's you don't have the transition. You don't have the puck moving. This is clearly your weakness. So you want to play that grinding game and you want to buy in to that hard game because you're going to have to turn this series, even if it isn't necessarily your identity, you're going to have to turn this series into a different style of game, one that you might not be best suited for, but it's going to be the best situation for you to come out of this game, or sorry, out of this series victorious. And whether you have Nick Ehlers or not, I don't know if that necessarily changes that. Nick Ehlers just gives you a little bit more firepower up front and potential to turn that game in your favor that I don't think you otherwise get with him out of the lineup.
How much of a factor do you think, you know, the series starting on the road is? Because we know that, you know, the Jets have been better this year on the road as compared to home, which makes sense because this is a bizarro season with no fans in the Canadian division. But, you know, does that factor in for you at all, Hammer? Because, you know, like we know that the Oilers have dominated the Jets all season long. I mean, we don't have to go over that. It's a fact at this point. But is that a factor for you? Because I look at it and I see this first game and, you know, as we know in any series, if the Jets are able to steal that first game, I mean, the outlook of this series could be completely different.
Yeah. I mean, I think this year is obviously unique. You can look at the home, like, I mean, the Jets before these last couple wins, I think it dropped 7 in a row at home. Now, is that an indication they don't play well when they sleep in their own beds? I don't think so, but you know, I don't think it, that home ice advantage isn't as, you know, prominent, I guess you could say, with how the season's going, obviously with COVID and no fans and all the things. I still think you want to play in your own barn. You know the nuances and the intricacies of your arena. It seems like Edmonton has a pretty good idea about the boards in Winnipeg too. I don't know if you guys remember that last game, but it was like they were shooting pucks off various areas of the boards with the right, you know, bounce for their players. So, I don't know if it's as big a deal. I think you'd want that, obviously, that home ice advantage to begin with. You want to play more at home regardless of what your records are. And I think there's a little bit of a tough situation as far as that back-to-back for the Jets, right? I mean, that to me is a bit of a disadvantage for home because you don't keep them on the road longer. You don't keep them, you know, in hotel rooms longer. And you know, you can't necessarily measure the impact of that, but, you know, a guy doesn't have a good sleep. And, you know, there's some guys out there that don't have good sleeps in hotels or have to do different things to get that rest. So anyways, getting a little too into that, but I don't know if I would put too much stock necessarily into the road and home records as much as I would, you know, this is a team that has struggled against the Oilers wherever they've played. And it's more fixing up those systems and coming up with a recipe to stop some of the bleeding that's happened against them, you know, despite where exactly you're playing.
Yeah. And just to follow up on that, cause you know, I know Dave, you know, Dave's next, we usually do the, you know, Drew goes first and I ask a question, then Dave goes here, but I just wanted to ask a follow-up question, Jeff, because I think that's a good point that you make. And, you know, the main reason why I was asking about the road versus home, I don't know how much of a factor it's going to be either. Right. Like, I think it's one of those things we always talk about when it comes to the playoffs, like does home ice advantage mean anything? Has it ever meant anything? So I'm kind of with you on that one, but you know, I wanted to ask you about the systems, and we're not going to go into, you know, crazy X and O detail here, but what I mentioned earlier in the show, the one thing that I noticed that the Oilers were really successful against the Jets were, you know, the defensemen pinching up a little bit on the defensive side in their own zone, creating turnovers, and then basically, you know, Connor McDavid and some of the other speedier players on the Oilers just taking advantage. Like, is that something that is an absolute must for the Jets, just really being you know, conservative with when they're pinching and making sure that they're not giving these turnovers and creating all these odd man rushes and breakaways, because it seems, you know, during that season series that at times, you know, the Oilers had, you know, five or six breakaways every game.
Well, gap control is massive, right? I mean, it's massive against any team. It's particularly tough when you have the transition game that the Edmonton Oilers have. And that's the game that, I mean, we've been hearing about this game the Jets are trying to get to and the style in which they're trying to get to. And I think we've seen some progress in the defensive style, maybe in that, you know, shutting down a little bit more and not leaving as many of those opportunities out there, but it's also trying to get that transition game. And Nick Ehlers is a big part of that transition game. So, you know, that to me is, you know, gap control, whether you want to put it on the defense and picking the right opportunities, when to pinch, when not to pinch. Obviously that's going to be an important aspect of it. Another big part of it is going to have to be the forwards playing defense. Like Mark Scheifele, I don't mean to single him out particularly, but you know, he needs to be, as the number one center, better option to those defense if you don't have the kind of group that can, you know, find that seam or you know, pivot and you know, deliver a pass to a guy while he's skating backwards or whatever. I'm not even trying to paint, you know, this crazy pass situation, because at the end of the day, it comes down to just better support, right? I mean, we see that with Edmonton. We see, you know, they're not just a good transition game because they have Connor McDavid and that, you know, they have speed up front. They're a good transition game because they move as a unit with five of them, and there's available options. And when they're, you know, when a pass is made, that player knows where the next player is going to be. He has one or two options. Sometimes it's a quick one-time pass. Other times, you know, they carry in and they dump it in. They're on the same page, for lack of a better term. So to me, you know, how do you fix that transition game, or how do you find that transition game that we've seen at the Jets at times? It's to have that better support from the forwards and not trying to stretch things out and you know, kind of create that touchdown pass or those long kind of seam passes. Because at the end of the day, you know, the Jets, what we've seen from them, maybe especially early on in the season when maybe they were able to mask some of their issues, is that they kind of live and die off chaos. Like, they need to have something happen where a puck, you know, gets poked away and all of a sudden it's a two-on-one and then skill takes over, right? That transition game helps you get to those situations where you can allow skill to take over, but it's that unity, it's that movement, that, you know, knowing where everyone is, and ultimately that's defining systems that lead to those opportunities that we just see the Jets kind of, you know, getting them and being good enough to finish on the, you know, the few they've had. I mean, obviously that's been an issue. Scoring's been an issue maybe prior to these last two games, but certainly, you know, that, you know, the gap control is going to be a major one, as but also the, you know, part of that being more support from the forwards in that transition game.
Jeff Hamilton is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Saturday morning. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms. Reminder that Wednesday night, the first game between the Jets and the Oilers, the Illegal Curve post-game show gets underway right around 10:30, 10:40, right when the final buzzer sounds between the Jets and the Oilers.
You know, Jeff, probably in this series, as much as we want to talk about all the forwards and all the defensemen, it's probably going to come down to those two guys between the pipes, Mike Smith and Connor Hellebuyck. And both goaltenders have had exceptional years. You know, they're amongst the top leaders in a lot of the advanced stats goaltending categories. Goalies are voodoo. You know, they're always difficult to understand. But what have you seen from Connor Hellebuyck in the last sort of stretch? We weren't really even certain if we were going to see him on Friday. But, you know, he's such a, you know, rhythm goaltender. He wanted to get that game in. Paul Maurice let him get that game in. But what have you seen from him of late to give you confidence to know, because it seems to be the consensus, the Jets are going to win this series. Connor Hellebuyck has to be the best player on the ice.
Yeah, I mean, he has to be the best player on the ice, because no matter what team you are, if your goalie's not, or if he's average on the ice, you know, it can take a pretty good team and make them an average team, right? It can also take an average team and make them a really good team. So in the Jets situation, yeah, Connor Hellebuyck has been leaned on a lot over the last couple of years, and particularly last season. I mean, you know, I always find it interesting as they go, you know, he willed them to a playoff spot. I mean, they were points percentage extended playoff spot, but you know, to me, you know, it's, and that's not to take away Connor Hellebuyck's game. He was certainly awesome. But it's one of those things where you know, there is going to be a heavy reliance on it. You don't want to have a heavy reliance on it. You want to help out your goalie. And I think that's, you know, as far as what I've seen from Connor Hellebuyck, I mean, you look at, you know, a couple shutouts over the last, you know, handful of games here, which I think gives him some confidence. Now, that Calgary game and Vancouver game were both, you know, against opponents that, you know, both didn't really seem to show up. I mean, we don't need to go into that too much. But at the same time, you know, you look at last game, right? I mean, bad play on defense, you know, giving, you know, Engvall the that kind of real estate. I mean, Pierre-Luc Dubois might have lost a puck race there too. Look, that's not an easy save, but that's a save that he needs to make. And if the Jets are going to win this series, Connor Hellebuyck needs to make those stops. So I'm not taking that, you know, looking at that one snapshot and saying, oh, that was a difficult situation for him, or that went in, so, you know, the Jets are screwed. But I do think that he needs to make the saves that are expected of him, and maybe a bit more if the Jets are going to, you know, if the Jets are going to get through this series. And yes, is that a lot of pressure on him? Absolutely. But the thing about Connor Hellebuyck is he's so razor sharp focused that I don't think there's a single guy. I mean, there certainly are some doubters as far as, you know, there's certainly some doubters out there with Connor Hellebuyck. I mean, I get emails all the time. In one notebook, it wasn't even a column. It was a notebook, a Jets notebook. I just said, you know, because Connor Hellebuyck had been going through some tough times. And I just said, Hellebuyck, a goalie many regard as one of the best in the world, evident by the, you know, two, you know, obviously the Vezina the winner last year in nominations in two of the last 3 years. But, you know, people go, are you kidding me? The guy's a joke. You know, there's no way that, you know, he's not playing well, yada, yada, yada. Well, you know, that mentality that he has where every game's kind of a good game, that's a good attitude to have as a goalie, because, you know, you look around the league and, you know, you want to compare Mike Smith. Mike Smith, his confidence is high. But Mike Smith, we've seen in the past where you don't have a great game or you get on a slide and you know, head games become an issue. And he doesn't exactly have the track record, you know, for that confidence. Again, he's having that this year, and you can see it, and he's proven that against the Jets. But at the same time, Connor Hellebuyck has been like, you know, we've looked at games where it's like, woof, and all of a sudden it's like, guys, I like my game, you know, like that was a game. And so you kind of look at it, you're like, ah, okay. But you want that mentality. You don't want a guy in the dumps. Another example, Jack Campbell. I mean, this guy has had a terrific season, played himself back into, you know, a starting goalie position. And even he's had some mental, you know, tough, you know, has had his mentality, you know, kind of tested here. And he admitted that things were getting too good, and he was kind of riding the highs and going with the lows of losses. So that just doesn't exist for Connor Hellebuyck. So the beauty in that, if you're Jets fans, is that, okay, say he comes out in game one and he lets in two, three suspect goals and the Jets lose. Well, Connor Hellebuyck isn't wearing that in game two. And that's a big part of this. So, yes, he's going to be relied upon big time. He's going to have to play against tough situations. You know, he's going to have to play against a team that he has an 877 save percentage against and is 2-5 and has been eaten alive on the power play. But he is a guy that I think you can trust. He's the least of the Jets' worries. And if I'm those players in those rooms, and they are not worried about him, it's about being better in front of him and giving him the best opportunity to steal a series that's going to eventually, you know, lead to success in this playoffs.
Last question for you, Jeff. We got to put you on the spot. Your buddy Mike McIntyre in today's print edition of the Winnipeg Pre-Press put his prognostication hat on and said it's the Oilers in five. From your perspective, looking at, you know, all the different factors that might come into play during this first round playoff matchup, what's your prediction on how it's going to turn out?
Yeah, you know what? It's you know, I think picking series is a loser's game. But I mean, if you go with, you know, if you got a gun to my head and I got to put money on a certain team, it's I don't think we've seen enough to suggest the Jets are going to win. So whether you want to say Oilers in four, Oilers in five, six, seven, you know, I think they're obviously the favorites for a reason. They've been playing a style of game that's been impressive and you know, certainly has been, you know, reason for why they're the favorites in this. But so I would probably say Oilers in six, but you know, I'm more than happy to be proven wrong. And you know, if they can, you know, take some of the stuff we talked about earlier, whether it's that massive chip on their shoulder or whatever, and turn it, you know, take this clean slate, or maybe take some of the highs and lows they've gone through. And if they have grown as a team, you know, great, absolutely. Then, you know, there's certainly a chance, but you know, from what we've seen and from the evidence in front of us, you know, I mean, they're going to be in tough. And again, you know, I have Oilers in six, I suppose, but at the same time, you know, it's if it's Jets in six or seven or whatnot, I'm just hoping for a good series.
My favorite part of that answer was Jeff calling Drew a loser.
You said predictions are for losers or something like that, but that's all good.
Predictions.
I didn't take it personally.
Right? Don't worry. No. It's just
Jeff. More importantly, though, Jeff, you've created bulletin board material because now Blake Wheeler, who's a big fan of the show, he's gonna be like, "Oh, Hammer. He's not giving it to us. Okay, forget it. We're gonna do it now just to prove him wrong."
Sorry, I was just going to say, if Blake Wheeler's worried about what Jeff Hamilton's saying, if anyone's worried about what Jeff Hamilton's saying, I see some people in the comments saying what a media know, and I'm with you with the pitchforks as far as, claiming whatever. We're just having fun talking hockey, and, I might not know crap and whatnot, but, we all have our opinions, and that's the beauty of this show. That's the beauty of this game, and the beauty of chaos is anything can happen.
And Jeff, more importantly, they're listening and watching you right now give it, so.
Yeah, I'm rubber, you're glue.
As the philosopher Kings on The Simpsons once said, when you're right 52% of the time, that means you're wrong 48% of the time. So that's what predictions are worth. Jeff Hamilton covers the Winnipeg Jets for the Winnipeg Free Press. You can read all about the Jets and the Oilers series and all the great coverage, sports, news, everything, entertainment in the broadsheet known as the Winnipeg Free Press. Jeff, thanks very much for joining us this morning. Appreciate your time.
Absolute pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Hammer.
Our pleasure. There he goes, our buddy Jeff Hamilton. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, more on the Jets and the Oilers. And our buddy Frank Saravelli from TSN is going to join us coming up in the next hour. You're listening, you're watching, you're chatting with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms.
Keeping Winnipeg laughing for over 30 years. Rumors, Canada's longest-running comedy club, bringing you the biggest laughs from the best comedians on the planet. Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the greats, and all the up-and-comers too. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends, or book your office or birthday party. Even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Hey, Drew.
Ezzy, whoa, what a smile!
Yeah, I got my crowns done at Linden Market Dental Center, and they whitened my teeth.
I see.
They're so bright that every time I smile, they go,
"We have hockey tonight. Do you have a mouth guard to protect those pearly whites?"
I sure do.
Whoa, they even ting through the mouth guard.
Linden Market Dental Center covers all your dental needs, from restorative to cosmetic dentistry, and will fit you with a sports guard for that active lifestyle. 877 Waverly, see LindenMarketDental.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
While you can't always count on your team winning, nor your favorite player scoring, one thing you can always count on is Bernstein's Deli. They've expanded their services because the team at Bernstein's Deli wants to accommodate your needs and keep you safe. Open Tuesday to Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. to serve you. Head to your phone, in-store or online to shop for groceries or order meals from the restaurant, like the legendary Illegal Curve Sandwich. Just go to bernsteinsdeli.com.
So you're a pizza person, you married a wing person, but somehow your kids are salad people. You can't pick your fam, but you can pick your BP meal deal, starting from $18.99 for takeout or delivery.
Hour number two of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show starts now. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms. This segment brought to you by our good friend, Dr. Les Rikus, and the team at Linden Market Dental Center, official dentist of Illegal Curve Hockey. Don't be an Ezzy. Always wear a mouth guard and give yourself peace of mind protection as well as facial, teeth, and mouth protection. To make an appointment to get your teeth to ting, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Always good to hear from our buddy Jeff Hamilton. Like I mentioned, Frank Saravelli, TSN senior hockey writer, set to join us in about 15 minutes time as well. Talk more about the Jets and the Oilers.
Do you want some breaking news?
Is it going to be about Cole Keller getting his first start for the AHL's Manitoba Moose? Yeah. Okay, go for it.
We just broke it.
Yeah, I know. But tell people who Cole Keller is. They might not know who he is.
Drew, you're really stealing Dan Thunder here.
I did it on purpose. I saw it come up on Twitter as well, and I knew he was going to try and chime in with it.
Stand bagging son of a gun.
So tell people who Cole Keller is, Dave.
Cole Keller is a Manitoba-born goaltender who's had
Altona.
I said that before, and someone said he's not necessarily right from Altona. So I'm a little wary of that. So I didn't want to say
from Pembina Valley.
As you would know, you're Hockey Manitoba. So if anyone would know, it would be you. But the reality is, it's easy to do Southern Manitoba because that's more of a catch all for that entire region. Beautiful area, actually. But I'd love to go, but I'm banned from there for right now, as is everybody else. But I think that it's a really good opportunity for him. He's only come in and had two wins with the Moose in relief of Mikael Burden. So good opportunity for him to get his first start. And
he might be a Winkler guy, actually.
That's why I was going to say, like, you got to be a little careful.
Hockey DB has him as Winkler in Elite Prospects, as him as Altona.
You always got to be careful because one's where they're born. And then someone else, I remember I was talking with someone else, but I mentioned this. And they're like, well, no, he's actually from, like, Miami. And then someone else said, he's from here. So, anyways.
I should text Eric Fair. He's from Winkler, so he would know, right?
There you go. Anyways, long story short, Drew, sorry to interrupt, but the point is that Cole Keller is getting his first start with the Moose. Big opportunity for him as they have two more games left in the season. They're playing tonight in Ottawa against Belleville, which is, I think, a 6 p.m. Central Time start. So that should be a good contest. Moose point streak is at 13 games, 10-0, 1-2. They are rolling along. No AHL playoffs for them. So they've got two more games left tonight and tomorrow, and then they are done. And then lot of these guys will come up and be, not a lot, but a number of these guys will come up and be Black Aces. Although I saw someone sent me a message today that it looks like Leon Gavanke, the defenseman, Jets prospect, 2017 fifth, I think, is he? No, I don't think so, actually. He's I don't remember what as he would know that better than I would. Anyways, he's going to be playing, I think, in the World Championships with Germany. That's what someone just sent me that today. So I'll have to do some more research on that one.
There you go. There's today's Manitoba Moose update, courtesy of Dave Minuk, 2017 fifth round pick, number 136 overall. You were right. Don't second guess yourself. Be confident.
Sorry, Dave. I actually wasn't paying attention. I was looking at something else. So,
were you watching the O-Dog race?
Yeah. It's watching the old dog race.
That's the kind of dedication we love to see from you there, Mr. Ginsburg. In any event, the Jets off today, so will be no media availability from the Winnipeg Jets. You know, so if anybody was asking about an update, a health update about, you know, Dubois or Stasny, what Paul Maurice said after the game yesterday.
Or Ehlers.
Yeah, but Stasny and Dubois, of course, left the game early last night. What Paul Maurice said is that they may not necessarily practice when they're back on the ice on Sunday, but he said that they will both practice prior to game one against Edmonton, and they will both be in the lineup against the Oilers on Wednesday night. You know, in the first hour when we were previewing the series, I was making a note for myself, and the note really says, it says attention to detail, because I think that is going to be the key for the Winnipeg Jets. They know what they have to do or what they cannot do against the Edmonton Oilers. It's that attention to detail that I think was lacking, certainly as the season got longer and as you saw the same opponents over and over again. And when it became an inevitability that the Jets were going to make the playoffs, that's what I think the Jets lost a little bit of, is that attention to detail and the element that they almost have to be perfect. Especially against the Connor McDavid and the Leon Draisaitl, they have to be so exacting with their deployments and with their decision making that, and I think that's sort of the fatigue factor of the regular season. Was a part of the reason why the Jets struggled so heavily over the last month or so. So that, I think, to me, is what I'm really going to be watching for on Wednesday night, especially early in that contest on Wednesday night, that attention to detail. Do you see that attention to detail from the Winnipeg Jets? And if you do, then I think that they can be competitive, certainly, against the Oilers. If that attention to detail is still lacking, well, then I don't think it's going to be a very long series. So to me, that is one of the key factors entering Wednesday night's game one.
How many times did you just say attention to detail? I counted at least five.
I wanted to say it enough times to make sure you were listening. I wanted, I know how distracted you get. So I figured what did they say? If you meet somebody, say their name three times in a row. I figured factor in the Ginsburg factor there. You got to go with five times to make sure you're paying attention.
I don't know about you guys. I have to say someone's name at least like 80 times for me to remember their name. But no, you're right, Drew. I mean, I would say that the Jets don't have to be perfect to beat the Oilers, but they have to be near perfect to shut down Connor McDavid for sure. But there's no doubt that at times, especially during that losing streak, you know, their attention to detail wasn't there, especially on the homestand, right, guys? Like, there were just too many parts of that game where the Jets just didn't seem engaged, right? And that's why I think, you know, towards the end of that losing streak, Paul Maurice talked about emotion and how the Jets were having trouble, you know, getting up for these games toward the end of the season when they knew that all they were playing for was clinching third, right? Because you didn't have the fans and you didn't, quite frankly, have a lot to play for. And I agree with you, Drew. I mean, you were right. The last kind of 6 to 10 games of the season were not riveting hockey games. So I do think that the, you know, the Jets are going to have to really be sharp in their fundamentals. And, you know, if the Jets aren't flying and scoring off of the rush and in transition or getting those power play opportunities, and we know they feed off of their power play, and obviously, you know, there have been some ups and downs, but it's still a really good power play. That's something that, you know, is also going to be a factor here, guys, because the Oilers not only have, you know, the best power play in the NHL, their penalty killing is pretty good as well. So if you can win the special teams battle, that's obviously going to help. But I mean, they're going to have to find an answer for Connor McDavid. They're going to have to score more goals than they did in the season series. They're going to need help from Pierre-Luc Dubois, Paul Stastny, Scheifele, Connor, and Wheeler. They have to be going, but they can't do it all. So Koppelauer, Appleton, you have to get some offense from them as well. If the fourth line can chip in, if, you know, you can get a goal from Trevor Lewis, Dave, or Jansen Harkins, if he's on that fourth line, that's going to help as well. But you're right, Drew, like, you know, they're going to need, I'm just reading the Kournikova comment from Joe from Winnipeg. So I got a little bit distracted there. I still haven't found the Anna Kournikova poster that I was talking about on yesterday's postgame show, but there's no doubt the Jets are the underdog. And, you know, they're going to have to be much better than they were during the regular season series. But I still think they can win the series. I don't think Edmonton is this absolute juggernaut. They happen to have two of the best players in the world, but they're not. They have flaws. We talked about it. Like, you know, their bottom six isn't anything to write home about. And, you know, their defense is good, led by Darnell Nurse and Tyson Barrie, but it's not like, you know, a top three defense in the NHL. So this is still a series that you can absolutely win if you're the Jets. And it doesn't look like it's winnable, maybe because you lost 7 of 9 against the Oilers, but we'll see what happens. That's why they play the games, as they say.
Exactly. And you know, what I was going to say, one of the things that I was looking back on Connor McDavid, you may want to go, if you're the Jets, you may want to go back and watch the tape of a Calgary game or the Montreal games, because 3 times both those teams shut him out and didn't let him get a point. So clearly they were able to do something that a lot. Now, he had points against them in other games, obviously based on his 104-point season. But again, there's opportunity to watch what other teams have been able to do successfully and to try and do that. And again, like I said, the Jets did win 2 of the first 3 games in the series. So I agree with you, Ez. I don't think the Oilers are some juggernaut that are invincible. They happen to be playing better hockey, but they're a beatable team. And Mike Smith has had an excellent season. Let's not try and make any bones about it. He's been phenomenal, but he's not this like 3-time Stanley Cup winner who, once he's in the zone, is locked in, to the point we were talking about earlier. Like, he's a goaltender who's got some flaws. So he's looked good and he's got a good body of work to draw on, and his muscle memory will be strong. But I don't think the series is unwinnable for the Winnipeg Jets.
I was just going to say, the knock to Hammer talked about this a little bit. The knock on Mike Smith has always been, you know, the mental side of the game, right? And obviously, you know, we've seen, you know, that he's had a good year here, but sometimes when he lets in a bad goal or a couple bad goals, sometimes he can get on himself, right? So
and that's the point, as I think that's the key. And look, for the Jets, being on the road isn't a bad thing. I mean, again, forget about the record and that sort of thing. I just think, like, you get on the road, you're focused on, you know, playing the game. You don't, there's no outside distractions. You don't have to worry about what's going on at home. So that's I mean, again, obviously it's not less than ideal to not have first change, but I really think it's an opportunity for these guys. If they get an early goal on Mike Smith, if they get rolling a little bit, if they get that little taste, guys, it's not like, again, like I said, this isn't, the Jets have been in a bad month. If you want to, I'm not going to put on rose colored glasses and pretend like the last month for the Jets has been a good one. I mean, we're not here to blow smoke up their butts. Like, this isn't what this is all about. So the reality is, you have to be realistic and talk about what you're seeing in front of you. And so far, overall, in the course of the year, the Jets have been a good team, right? This is a team that didn't lose 2 games in a row for how long, right? So that was the narrative for the majority of the season. But the reality is, again, then they went on a slide where they lost 7. So that's what your more recent memory of this team is. But again, this was a good team consistently for throughout the course of the year. So again, I'm not suggesting that Edmonton's some juggernaut. I don't think Toronto's some juggernaut. I think all the teams in the NHL have flaws. I think that's just the reality of hockey. I think that Connor Hellebuyck is an X factor. I think he can be the best player. I mean, he's a Vezina winner. He didn't win the Vezina by mistake. He didn't win the Vezina by accident. So he's still an excellent goaltender. And I saw someone earlier say that he's not a guy who can win big games for you, but he's won some pretty big games in the series to get the Jets to the conference finals a couple years ago.
I think that's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
I remember him winning a game 7 on the road.
Well, absolutely, and he led the Jets to the Western Conference final. So
yeah. So that's all I'm saying. So it's just a function of, like I said, we have to be realistic here. I mean, again, the Jets have flaws. The Oilers have flaws. I think that's the key. The Oilers are the best player in the world. There's no doubting that. You can't even pretend like it's anywhere even close to anybody who has Connor McDavid's skill or ability. Mm-hmm. But again, like I said, there's teams that have been able to neutralize him and minimize his impact against them. So that's the job of you. And again, that's the advantage of having 5 days between your series. Get your guys healed up, get your guys ready, get your guys focused, and get your guys ready to face one of the best players in the league.
And hope that the Canucks injure a number of the Oilers players in their meaningless game this afternoon. But that's a separate issue entirely. For me, what I want to see again from the Jets, and I talked about attention to detail sort of at the start of this segment, so many of those games against Edmonton, the Jets just dumped the puck in behind Mike Smith, and it was out of the zone before they could even, get a chance to get in on them. That's the kind of thing that they can't happen in this series. You have to make sure that your dump-ins, when possible, are better placed. They're put into the corner where they're not, within the trapezoid, and he can't be a factor. If you're not going to be able to carry the puck in and establish possession that way, and with Nikolaj Ehlers' status as a question mark, and we know he's the best Jets zone entry player, if you're going to have to play that dump and chase game, and and you always have to do it at certain points, during the game and during a series. There's no question about that. It has to be more educated dump-ins. It can't just be ring it around the boards, because Mike Smith will feast on you in that situation. Right. And time again, when the Jets and the Oilers played in the regular season, that just seemed to be what the Jets' approach was. And then no wonder it was back out of the out of the Oilers' zone before the Jets had any opportunity to get any offensive zone time. It just can't work that way. So that's what I'm talking about, the attention to detail. There's no magic formula for defeating the Edmonton Oilers. You just have to be, sharper than the opponent. You have to make sure that your I's are dotted and your T's are crossed, quicker and...
Are they signing contracts?
More precisely, I'm ignoring you, quicker and more precisely than the Oilers are with their attention. I mean, this Oilers team, look... Playoff wise,
they're beatable, Drew. They're absolutely beatable.
Look, they somehow lost to the Blackhawks in the bubble last year, right? Which was an abomination.
You're not going to completely shut down McDavid. He's going to get his points. You're right. You have to keep the puck away from Smith. He's one of the best puck handling goalies in the league. But you mentioned something else that I think is just as important, probably more important: offensive zone time, sustained pressure. All of those cliches dictating the pace of play. Like you have to see that more in this series, because in the regular season series, of course, the Jets just didn't have that, right? Like it was, you had some good scoring chances, like the high danger chances in those games. Like I don't have it in front of me, but the high danger chances in most of those games were heavily in favor of Edmonton. So that's what you're going to want to see. You're going to want to see, players going to the middle of the ice. If a clean zone entry isn't there, not only dump the puck in away from Smith, get the puck back, start a cycle up, have some zone time, keep the puck in their zone as opposed to, having the puck in your own zone. And you're right, there isn't a magic formula to beating Edmonton. There's no magic formula for any team. I mean, that magic formula is often Connor Hellebuyck, right? So I agree with you. I think the Jets can win this series, and Hellebuyck absolutely has the opportunity to steal some games.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.